It's Wednesday, February 7th, and the Philadelphia Eagles outlast the New England Patriots to win their first ever Super Bowl. To the Bucs, they pick up Tyler Zeller. Are they done making moves? The trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon. We'll see what the Bucs have up their sleeve. Speaking of making moves, the Milwaukee Brewers, are they done making moves this offseason? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap with the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and at Snowtap WI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
The Tap with the Keg podcast episode 271. Mitch on the ones and twos, Charlie here with you. Another edition Super Bowl. Football is over. We can now focus on the one true team of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Bucks, as I mentioned on the Daily Tap.
I saw that on
yesterday.
Daily Tap.
Thank you.
WI. It's a website.
And you're damn right it is, Mitchie. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Believe it or not, the Milwaukee Bucks are the... I mean, it's their stage, man.
Absolutely.
Badgers are horrible.
I talked about it on Monday. If you did not hear that yet, go back and listen. After I called people losers for making a big deal out of the Tyler Zeller trade, I said, look, this is the only team involved. How do you do this if you're not a Bucks fan? We can do it on this podcast as well. But basically what I told the people, Mitch, and you can tell me if this is a good idea, I said, two things if you're not really a fan. Have a night to yourself. Watch the game. Do a little bit of phone action. But then make it a night where you can have a few beers, some nice pizza, maybe some Chinese, and you're just in the zone watching the game. And then the next step is to go to a game and sit in the lower bowl so you can actually like get the full Giannis experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my suggestion to the sort of kind of half foot in the water Buck fan.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on, knows Giannis, but that's about it.
See, but then every time that person sits down, has a beer, and gets a pizza and watches the game, they get beat by 30.
Well, I mean.
And that just, you know, then they just toss them aside.
You got to be cynical.
Same old Bucks.
You got to be cynical. You have to be cynical.
Then watch this Giannis guy.
Giannis is a popular one. My dad
likes
to say.
By the way, and I hope he hears this, Jay Berman is his name. He's an update guy on CBS Sports.
Yeah.
I heard him coming home.
I love this.
I believe on...
Mitch is firing shots.
God, what? Friday night.
Uh-huh.
When Giannis had the game winner against the Knicks. This, I believe, I hope I'm...
So this is a national guy.
National guy. He called him Giannis. He called him a dude Campo or something like that.
Get the fuck
like,
out of here. Bruh.
2 years ago, I would have thought, okay, that's bad, but I'll get you. Okay.
He got both of them wrong.
He's not what he is.
Do you think that was like...
He got both of them wrong. Both of them not even really close.
Okay. So you've done updates before. I have never done an update myself, but I have known that like when we're talking on the podcast, there are times where I'm like, okay, this is how you pronounce the name. This is how you pronounce the name. Don't fuck it up. And then when the moment gets bright, you fuck it
up. It could be.
Like, I'm not trying. I think...
But that's like, bro, no one has told you how to say his name.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in New York fucking city.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one has told you how to say his name.
Exactly. Like, yes. How are you not know how
I mean, there are
yes,
hundreds of Greek people that come to those games.
How do you
New
not
York?
Pronounce a Grecian name like that be with all of the Greeks that are in the greater New York City area in the boroughs?
I almost tweeted at the guy. I looked up his and he has a Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you know, just one of those things.
Mitch was like, ah!
You respect the biz, and you're just kind of like, but I was kind of like, yeah, don't proscend on that. But I really wanted to be like, that is embarrassing.
You should have told me. These are the type of moments where you just let me do it, and you can just tell me, like, hey, tweet at this guy and start some waves. I've told you before. Like,
I mean, it could have. I mean, probably not. It's just an update.
But. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to, like, make enemies and burn bridges. That's not what I'm about. I want to be friends with everybody, but if you're gonna spew bullshit, I'm going to call you out on it. That's just kind of how we're doing this thing now. I'm just saying nobody's safe, as the G-Eazy song goes. But I'm not talking about black or white girls. I'm talking about media members. So I also
that's the great thing about being a blogger is that, or you know, or somebody in the is there a more PC term for that now?
No. So I think what it
advanced
is
advanced media.
Yeah, like, I guess. Yeah. Well, if I did more video,
citizen media.
If I did more video, I would say I'm still a blogger. Blogger and podcaster. But the thing is I have a corporate day job
where
I just don't give a fuck. Like,
but right. So like that's what I'm saying is like it's the best of both worlds.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can be above the fans, but also call out media members and think this guy's an idiot or that guy's an idiot or tweet at that guy and
basically,
start shit, basically.
I'm basically the meat in the sandwich, right? Like, I am above the buns, who are the pinheads.
You have fans and you have sports organizations.
Yes.
And Big J journos and radio people, to some extent, are kind of, well, maybe more so radio people, are sort of the, mm-hmm. that's why they call them the media.
Right.
You're the media, the middleman.
Yes.
You basically, I mean, Big J journos and beat writers and stuff, their jobs are done for them. They have people tweet at them all night.
Yeah.
And basically give them all their handful of questions they want to ask.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
They take the three biggest ones they think, probably, and there they are.
Twitter has become an amazing tool for some of the journalists of the, you know, I actually, it's funny you mentioned this, like part of my take was saying how they've goaded Rick Riley into jokes on Twitter by like saying, oh, are you going to make this joke, Rick? Are you going to make this? And then like an hour later, Rick Riley makes the joke because he saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, these guys.
So, and then what, I guess my point was that the bloggers of the world and the, you know, some of the guys who don't necessarily want to pursue, you know, a full-time job in sports media, but can sort of scratch the itch.
Mm-hmm.
They can have both best of both worlds.
Well, right.
They might have a little more access than the normal fan, but they're still fans. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Because nothing bothers me more, but it does frustrate me when, you know, sports writers become jaded.
Yeah, and I think
it's like, bro, you were a fan.
Well,
just as much as everybody else.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we can kind of transition our way into the Super Bowl. Like, you had all these journalists complaining about how cold they were. Like Ben Volin, who is a Patriots beat writer, was like, we had to be waiting outside 20 to 30 minutes without any heaters. This is absolutely inexcusable. And all these
guys live in Boston, dude, like it's some kind of tropical paradise.
Yeah, Armando Sogluno or whatever his name is out of Miami.
Chuck wrote these guys down. Was
saying Minnesota will never host the Super Bowl again because it was just so cold and such a bad experience.
Yeah.
And
that from a Miami guy.
And Aaron Nagler goes, please go buy a coat.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is as good of a chirp as I've heard from a media to media. But it's like,
I thought about doing a Charlie Trichler-esque Snapchat video one of those days last week.
We should have got you on the SnowTap account.
I was just going to say, if I got to hear one more time about how cold it is in Minneapolis, I'm going to fucking vomit.
Also, how many media members did ice fishing videos in Minnesota? That was real topical.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on, guys.
We get it. It's cold. And I was saying this to somebody, I think, during the Super Bowl. It's like, we get it. It's cold. There's got to be something when the Super Bowl is in Arizona. What would it be that, you know, the media feels obligated
to
talk
like
about that
Houston,
thing, like the desert.
What they were bitching about in Houston was everything was spread out. That was the thing. Like, it's like,
such
a big city.
There's got to be some kind of geographic. Yeah, I guess that
And Atlanta will be, there's so much traffic next year. And sometimes you can get like ice storms in Atlanta and who knows, you know, whatever comes.
Well, and knowing the NFL's luck, it'll be an ice storm.
Right. And
just like in Dallas, the year the Packers won.
But like, well, hey, maybe the maybe it's an ice storm. If it's an ice storm and the Packers are there, I'm going to be convinced that the Packers are winning the Super Bowl. That's just science.
But is there something though, like in Arizona, where like I guess the straight up heat people
heat,
might complain
right.
about, where it's like, yeah, we get it. Like there's all. I mean, you know, they could have had the Super Bowl a week ago and it probably was 40 degrees up in Minneapolis.
Well, and it's like Indianapolis is so media. There are places that are media friendly, like Indianapolis, where everything's within like walking distance.
So
some things are set up so the media just kind of gets flated.
So
all,
when Milwaukee
all week.
Gets an all-star game in the winter, which will never happen.
No, they're going to get an all-star game.
Oh.
We can talk about that a little later, but they're going to get an all-star game. So yes. But yeah, the media, man, I feel like Twitter has made people, you get way too much groupthink where everyone wants to shame people and wants to, they stick to their same opinion because they're worried what someone else is going to think. There's that problem. And then there's the second problem of they feel like everything's important to tweet out and they think that people are going to feel sorry for them. And it's like, you guys are the most privileged assholes out here. Like, do you know how much I would have killed to spend a week in Minnesota creating content?
Right.
And, you know, and doing shit and like thinking of fun ways I can incorporate the Super Bowl. I would have loved that. I mean, that's
the
dream.
It's the equivalent of when athletes hold out and when they bitch about how much money they make.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think sometimes it's just, but other times it's like, okay, this is a little ridiculous that we're going to, you know, Le'Veon Bell is a good example of a guy who's thinking about, you know, maybe retiring if the Steelers franchise
him. We do this all the time after the Super Bowl, don't we?
Just let it roll, let it loose.
Like Gronk's going to retire.
Oh, Gronk. Yeah.
He's not going to retire.
No, that was totally in the moment. I get it that Gronk had the
of course, it's also the media, too, that dissects every word he says.
The one thing about Gronk is, like, I think, A, he would do, like, a Brett Favre where he'd retire and come back. But, like, Gronk can make a shit ton of money on endorsement deals and just being Gronk and putting 69 on everything and can just eat. Like Gronk,
that's a good point.
Gronk has
a brand.
And apparently he's like a savant in math. Like Julian Edelman has said this multiple times that he's like a complete savant when it comes to math. And
I wouldn't hold my breath on that, but I'd be willing to watch.
But
the math competition there.
But no, Gronk's like saved all his endorsement money. He's kind of similar to Marshawn.
I did hear that, and I believe it.
Yeah. So
no, he saved all of his contract.
Contract money. That's it.
Isn't that usually how it works?
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, potato patata. But yes,
because you get more money in endorsements.
Yep.
And then your salary is kind of your savings, your fallback.
So we did not watch Super Bowl together, first time in a few years.
Right.
Where was your head from a 1 to 10 from, you know, least shocked to most shocked? Where were you just watching that game, taking it in, seeing what Nick Foles did, how the Patriots couldn't stop a cold?
Neither team could.
No, you're right.
I mean, how many times has a quarterback thrown for 500 yards in a game and lost?
Well, that's the incredible thing. I mean,
it's New England who does not run the ball.
The game didn't feel real. I mean, the fact that, like, the Patriots...
It didn't really feel like a Super Bowl, did it?
No, it didn't.
In certain ways.
Yeah, I think...
Obviously, it's still a spectacle and you had a halftime show.
Right. I think the whole idea of nobody could stop anybody felt more like a divisional game or a championship game where you expect the best of the best. And I think it's proof, and keep this in the back of your head for next season, that... defenses do win championships, but if you're the two best teams, which clearly the Eagles and Patriots were, you just need
the two number one seeds, right?
And the Eagles were underdogs throughout the whole thing. So they were kind of like the most not fraudulent, but they were the most like hated on one seed in quite some time.
Yeah. Well, they lost their starting quarterback. They've gotten them so far.
But Doug Peterson's fearlessness, just the nuts that guy had throughout that whole game.
I assume you saw the video of them mic'd up.
Yes, it was awesome.
Foles coming to him saying, let's run the play.
Let's run the play. And he's like,
he waited for about a tick and he was like, yeah, let's do it.
And
like, I was nonchalant.
I think if there's one thing to take away as a Packer fan, as a football fan, is like, maybe this brings more balls into football. Maybe this shows that going conservative, as Peterson said after the Super Bowl, going conservative is only going to take you 8-8. And Dak drew a tweet from Demarius Randall with the eye emoji, so take that for what it's worth. But you know, it is. He's fearless, and hopefully this breeds a culture of just kind of going for it on fourth downs and doing things because it makes sense.
Is that good for the game to some people to not punt?
I mean,
punting still has its place.
No, punting's still going to have your place. Like, the Eagles aren't reckless. They're not going. But I think it puts it adds more excitement to it for sure. If you're telling me that,
I think it's just kind of one of those things where they're lucky it worked out.
See, I disagree with that. I think it's the scheme. I mean, they were good.
I mean, the fourth down play to throw it to Foles actually was a brilliant play.
Well, right. And I yelled out, like, I literally screamed, like, what a play. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was just one of those moments where I think you'll kind of always, that's the moment from that Super Bowl you're going to always remember.
Yeah.
And
or the strip sack.
Yes. But
seeing Tom Brady look old for the first time.
Yeah. I think that was I said on the Daily Tap yesterday. Sunday, that I feel like Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, a few other guys get out of that strip sack. I don't know if any of the if a Rodgers takes that sack right there.
And you saw New England run a similar play almost too with Tom Brady rolling out trying to catch a pass, and it's like. Couple of people I was watching the game with were like, well, it's a touchdown if he catches it. And I'm like, do you know how slow Tom Brady is?
He would have got buried after
5 yards.
He would have ran out of bounds, got the first down, and that was about it.
Like, that's not a touchdown.
No.
But he's so unathletic, and I don't know.
Yeah.
He's not going to retire, and nor should he.
No.
Yet.
No, and it's interesting, this whole Josh McDaniels thing. So when it goes quick. We're about to tape... We saw that Josh McDaniels withdrew his name as the Colts head coach. He was ready to take it. He had already had assistants lined up, and he's decided to withdraw his name. Now, what this may mean for Bill Belichick's future is kind of unknown at this point.
Interesting. Much like the Malcolm Butler situation.
Yes, and the Malcolm Butler came out also on Tuesday and said, basically, hey, look, all this is bullshit. I was there at curfew. I may have said a few things, but everyone was on, you know, on the same page. And so
maybe what happened was he was on curfew, didn't like it, though.
I think he said something.
Said some things to his coaches.
I think he said something basically to the effect of, I'm not going to give a shit out here. I'm gone on Tuesday. Like, I'll clear out my locker. I'm done. I can't wait to leave New England. And I'm going to try my best.
But on the Super Bowl, you do that? Like, that is kind of idiotic.
I don't know if he did, though. I don't know.
I know you're just spitballing.
I'm totally spitballing. I still think if Malcolm Butler wants to play for the Packers, I'm not going to shake my dick at it. I'm not going to say no, right. Because I think I don't think this season defines him. He didn't have that good of a year, but I think he was so royally fucked in the head that he lost it. I think one of those things, like as someone who in their personal life at times internalizes a bunch of shit, I'm better at it now, but when I was, especially like, I didn't like getting made fun of as a kid, so I started laughing at it. I started not, and then I internalized all of it. And I have kind of a temper, if some of you know that, some of you don't. And then all of a sudden, like a sponge, I had to get squeezed out at some point, and I just fucking lose it. And I couldn't, sometimes it would be on such a minute thing. And so maybe that's kind of what happened to Malcolm Butler. Like, he was just like, I'm sick of this shit, and just lost it.
Just a weird time.
Oh, totally.
Horrible, inopportune time.
Well, and then all of his teammates being behind him, and this is the part of the McDaniels withdrawal, if we're doing like a Kerry Matheson Homeland puzzle, it's like, and I know you don't understand that reference, that's okay, our audience might. The fact is now it's like, did Belichick feel like he's lost the locker room? And that now it's like, I gotta go. Like, I'm just gonna, like,
before I ruin my legacy type of thing.
Right, exactly.
Even more than I might have now.
Because I don't know. Let me take a year off. Let me see what coaching jobs become available and go. I don't know. From what I was told by people is Belichick won't leave the
North sources.
Won't leave the, no, this is just from what I've heard in podcasts and shit and people who know Belichick.
He won't leave the
Northeast. He loves Nantucket. He's from that area.
So Buffalo?
So yeah, maybe Buffalo.
The Jets?
No, so that was a great moment. Did you watch Two Bills?
No, I've never seen it. I recommend it.
I thought it was good. But so Parcells and Belichick are going through, like, they're in MetLife. And they're going through some of the different giant. No, it might have been the Meadowlands. They're going through like old memorabilia. And someone asked them, you know, hey, do you want to go into the Jets locker room? And they like laughed it off. We're like, no, why? And both of them like want to forget the fact that they were both Jets coaches and that Belichick was the Jets head coach for a day.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy part of that story, though. The whole like Jets thing is just a saga and it's, you know, nuts. So, yes, it's the first like day of the NFL New Year doesn't start till I think the 14th of March, but it's the first day of the offseason and already we've had McDaniels withdraw his name. The interim GM for the Panthers is on leave because of harassment claims by his ex-wife. So, it is a hot start for your boy Goodell.
Plus the whole Alex Smith trade.
You know, then the Alex Smith trade. And then now Dan Snyder's like, I might franchise Kirk Cousins anyways. I'm like,
to hold him hostage?
That, oh my God. If Dan Snyder does that, like, I would just, Dan Snyder's such an asshole.
It's kind of a smart business move. It is,
but at the same time, it's like, just let him be free, man. Why would you pay two quarterbacks? Yeah, man.
Well, they're gonna trade him for something.
Well, right. I guess. I don't know. Unless it's a sign and trade.
But then you'd have to find a team that's willing to do
the franchise.
A one-year deal.
No, they would sign him to the extension right away. They would say, they like Smith, they'd be like, okay, we're going to give you now 4 years, whatever money you want. I guess it'll...
Well, and we can tie it back to the Super Bowl a little bit, too, because Nick Foles is going to have an interesting situation coming up because... From everything you hear, he's a humble guy and stuff, but he
had some awesome quotes, man. He had some really cool, like, I know if you ever are going through a rough time or you're ever thinking about quitting something or wanting to kind of move on, like, it was totally inspirational to hear him say, like, hey, like, sometimes you just got to pick yourself back up again and drive forward. And it was great. And I think Foles, it's a really interesting quarterback offseason because you have a guy like Foles, you have a guy like Kirk Cousins,
Case Keenum,
Tyrod Taylor, like these
Sam Bradford.
All
three of the Vikings quarterbacks are unrestricted.
Yeah, you have all these guys who could potentially have new locations. And
only how many jobs, though.
Right. And with Foles, it's like it seems like there is a certain offense that fits him and a certain offense that does not. And you have to sort of adhere to his skill set. And if I was Cleveland.
Well, he's more of a spread guy.
Yeah. And if I was Cleveland, I would get one of these guys. I don't know which one. You can make a case for any of them.
Well, I think Kirk Cousins is the best.
Well, he's the best. I love Kirk Cousins. I am driving the Kirk Cousins fanboyhood.
I can't believe that the Redskins did that.
No, I can't either. I made the case like
Alex
think
Smith's nice. He'll probably win you a game or two extra each year, but it was a lateral move, and he's older.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins to the Vikings, as I wrote last week, SnowTapWI, it's a website, is a nightmare scenario for Packer fans. I'm dead serious about that. I know people are like, the Vikings will fuck it up. I get that. They have been known to do that. But that is a nightmare scenario.
Kind of a good scenario for Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely it is.
When you're playing in a dome.
Yes.
You got a great defense.
You get two solid receivers.
You got Stephon Diggs. You got Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
You got a solid running back.
You have Adam Thielen. Don't forget Adam Thielen. He was a Pro Bowler. The fact is, but they would totally destroy the cap. The Vikings have done a really good job with their salary, and the Vikings a lot like the Seahawks of a few years ago where they have a ton of young guys on a ton of rookie deals, so they have money to spend.
And a quarterback on an affordable contract.
Right, exactly.
Ties it into Packer Nation as well.
Yep, and Aaron Rodgers has to get paid. So,
and I've heard a lot of that lately. A lot of people saying they've been saying it since basically the season ended, that I would rather have a great defense and an average quarterback. And it's like, talk to me in a couple of years.
That is, you could just cue the Pinhead music up right now. That's such a ridiculous comment.
Why can't it be the opposite? You can have a great quarterback and just have an adequate defense. A lot of people are like, well, I'd rather have a great defense. And it's like, why?
No, just
the quarterback gets you further.
Absolutely.
Bottom line.
Right. Look at Jackson. Look at Jackson.
So often you get these years that come by where this stuff happens, where you get guys that are teams that have good defense and a no-name quarterback or a backup quarterback that somehow gets to the Super Bowl. They get hot.
Right.
And it's like, all of a sudden now we got to change. Like Green Bay Packers, you're telling me should release Aaron Rodgers? No.
I mean, Atlanta had four plays within the five to beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
If the Falcons actually know how to run a fucking offense, the Falcons might be in the Super Bowl right now. Or the Vikings, heaven forbid, would have been in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's how close it was.
Right. That's the NFL.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's any given Sunday.
And that is to the point is like, okay, Aaron Rodgers with an 11th or 12th ranked defense is a Super Bowl winner.
Right, exactly. You know? That's my point.
Yeah, I know. I'm agreeing with you. And it's like, you guys, like, Blake Bortles was an average quarterback, and he played on a great defense, and they got to the AFC Championship game, and they could only go to the AFC Championship game because they only had 30 plays. And it was said like that, and that's because Blake Bortles was limited as a quarterback. So, I mean, if Blake Bortles was a little bit better, Jacksonville's in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, they outplayed New England. New England just was better, and Tom Brady was better.
Right.
And there you go. So, okay.
Well, look at the 2010 Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
You had a good defense and an emerging superstar quarterback.
It's a ridiculous thing to pine for. I get what people are trying to do, but
I have a good defense and two good running backs.
Yeah,
it's not 1970.
No. And so what I was
going to... You also get some guy calling up, because I believe one of the shows on our station...
Mitch is hot today, guys.
I am a little bit.
You are.
You also had another guy on our station. They were talking about, since Jerry Kramer got in, finally, we can quit hearing about that.
Mitch is just taking shots. He isn't afraid. He has that Elon Musk flamethrower out today,
somebody,
folks.
Somebody was like, why don't we have this up on the website? I was like, who cares about Jerry Kramer? I didn't realize he was a former Packer.
Oh my God. Oh man.
That was kind of joking though. Yeah. When I said that.
Yes. But, disclaimer, Mitch joked about Jerry Kramer.
I have a dry sense of humor. Thank you very much. Now I forgot what I was saying. Oh, who's the next Packer Hall of Famer? And some guy calls into, I believe it was Chuck and Winkler, and says, talked about some cornerback from the 50s, Bobby somebody, who apparently had one eye. I'm not making this up. He had one eye. He had He had 20 interceptions in a season when they didn't throw them in the 50s. And it's like, come on, buddy. Just stop, please.
You know,
I mean,
people are just, it's silly season. I mean, this is the silly season of the NFL.
Well, and this is, then the Packer fans are just, they're lost.
Right, exactly. They're like a puppy. The fact is, if Rodgers comes back and they go 13-3 and they're the 2 or 3 seed, and whether they make the Super Bowl or not is for interpretation, it's really.
Some guy who played in the 50s, are you kidding me?
It's really hard to get to the Super Bowl, and that's what it has to, and I think what happens is we look at the AFC, and what people don't realize, the AFC is trash, and so it's like, oh, Tom Brady gets there every year. Well, look at the competition they're playing on a regular basis, and so we just need to all take a step back about
this. The Patriots had one stretch this year where they played like one playoff team in the last like 8 games.
Right.
And it was Pittsburgh.
And so my suggestion back to like my original point, which I mean, we went in a lot of directions here about Cleveland and Nick Foles was the fact that I would sign a guy like Foles if I was Cleveland, and then I would draft Saquon Barkley in an offensive tackle and go forward.
With your
my 1 and my 4. Or you trade one of those. I don't know.
Are there tackles available?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Connor Williams from Texas. I mean, there's a lot of different guys who, you know, there's a lot of offensive linemen available. Or that guard from Notre Dame who's awesome, Quentin Nelson.
How would NFL Twitter react if the Browns took a tackle first overall?
Well, if they've already got like a Nick Foles or Case Keenum in the saddle, I don't think anyone's going to care.
Right.
I think that they would react justly, you know, and maybe you get a defense.
It just comes down to how much they trust Darnold or Rosen.
Right, exactly. And if I were the Browns, I would just sign a quarterback, and with all your draft picks, you can build around that and then not trust the young guy to get the job done. But
every year, it's like the quarterbacks don't seem that great.
Right.
And then you get a Mitch Trubisky who goes second overall.
Well, right. And the Mitch Trubisky thing, I think, is a real worry about the RPO life and how everybody's turning into this, which I hate that term, and just kind of try not to use it as much as I can. It's like a marketing buzzword. It's like we're having offline conversations. That's how I define RPO at this point. But
it's industry jargon.
Right, absolutely. But that's going to really play well to the Bears, and the Packers have to be ready to defend that, and Patton's going to have to – that's going to be a big challenge, because the Bears could be a team that a lot of people see as a surprise next season if they rebuild that offense with, like, a guy like Jarvis Landry or someone else. I mean, they sign a few wide receivers in there. I mean, they could be set with a pretty decent team, given the fact that Bears got a head coach who works with that quarterback and works with the way the NFL is trending when you don't have a franchise quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and while on the other hand, the Lions got Matt Patricia, who got absolutely destroyed, and I wish the Lions the best of luck with that, because I think it is going to be a nightmare. If you were a Lions fan today, would you just be like, we're fucked?
I'd be a little nervous.
I would definitely be,
because their defense isn't very good this year.
Right. And so, but yes, we've went very long on the NFL.
Yeah.
I did not expect that, but we will, we'll now, who knows when we'll talk next. I mean, we'll see what kind of headlines come out. I mean, the combine's late, you know, now you're starting to, or early March, you're starting to see different mock drafts pop up. Different guys will sort of just ride that wave, and then once the new year starts, that'll be silly season time. Who knows if we have to tell people it's okay if Jordy Nelson gets released. Like, we'll do it. We're not afraid. So, moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. It's been a good time to be a Bucks fan. They are playing the Knicks tonight. I don't know how they're doing as we tape this on Tuesday evening.
It was tied right before half as I left.
Okay. All right.
So much like the game on Friday.
Yeah. The Knicks are...
Knicks might not be the best matchup for us.
No, I think with the Porzingis thing and Kanter and the fact you have no John Henson tonight, I was like, well, if they lose this game, I'm not going to really cry over it. But the Bucks are rolling. I mean, they are first time they've been 6 games over 500.
It's like
back to
back pods where we've been somewhat
happy.
Cheery about them.
Right. It's because it's the Prunty effect.
It's the scent of Jason Kidd is removed.
Right. And it looked bad on Thursday night with Brogdon going out with a quad injury. He's out for the rest of the season, might come back for the playoffs. And then Giannis twists an ankle.
He'll be back probably by April 1st.
In a game that, or at the time of a game that nobody mattered, and everyone lost their shit. Like, everybody lost their mind that Giannis got hurt.
Yeah.
And me included.
I certainly tweeted asking the question why Giannis came back in.
I mean,
my
daily tap post, my daily tap title was God Hates the Bucks on Friday. So, like,
well, I mean, it's kind of been that way lately.
Right.
You know, you have the curse of Jabari Parker.
But speaking of Jabari, I mean, positive returns thus far. I think he looks pretty good. I don't know when they're going to sort of unleash him or what the plan is. I'm sure it'll be similar to Zach LaVine, where they kind of gave him about a month before LaVine was playing full starter minutes and doing things for the Bulls, and I would imagine that's a similar trajectory with Jabari. Now, granted, the All-Star game having about a week to just train and get yourself healthy may mean that
accelerated. He might be playing full minutes after the All-Star break.
That's probably the case. I would actually bet on that. So, yeah, it's been decent, but now the Bucks need some point guard depth help with Matthew Dellavedova out for 4 weeks. Brogdon obviously done till the first. So the question is, will they go after one of the big fish, the Lou Williams, Tyreke Evans of the world? I say no, just because I think the first round pick is going to be involved, and I don't think the Bucks can do that.
I don't agree. I don't. I do agree with you. I think that it's, if anything, it'll be another minor move, you know, and if you consider a bench guy to be a major move or not, that's for your interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, to get Tyreke Evans or Lou Williams, they're asking the world, I'm sure.
Right.
Because people know what you're going to get with those guys. They fill a need of a lot of teams, even Bellinelli to some extent.
Your boy, you love Bellinelli. Well, you might get a...
If Tyreke Evans and Lou Williams are indeed on the table, I'm guessing that lowers Bellinelli's value.
Right. If the Bucks get Bellinelli, would you get a jersey of Bellinelli?
No, I mean, I don't like him that much.
Okay. I just check it.
I hit you with some knowledge one day, and I've been cast as a Bellinelli dick rider.
You are, though. I mean, that's,
I'm just telling
it's okay.
you, the guy who can shoot threes.
Hey, it's okay.
As a guard in the NBA,
it's a safe spot
off the bench. Who's essentially Kyle Korver.
Right.
He might not be that good, but he's gonna get you a lot. And Dwayne Dedman and Marco Bellinelli for whatever lump of garbage John Horst can come up with. Sign me up.
Right.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Now, of course, we have Tyler Zeller, who, you know, then we'd have four centers.
Well, right. And then you'd have too many centers.
Unless Zeller goes out.
Well, that's the thing. People are sleeping on that.
Or Henson goes out. People are thinking Henson might get shed.
Well, I think there's, first of all, I don't.
I'd be a little sad if John Henson got shed.
Me
shredded.
Too,
Part
because
me.
I think John Henson's
I mean,
had
he's
really,
not very good, but he's, like, he's been here for a long time. He's seen the bullshit.
Right.
He's seen some shit.
We'll probably do and I promised this like yesterday, but I think I even promised it today. We're going to do a midseason Bucks report next week, probably heading into the All-Star break. And I guarantee you, both of us will say that John Henson is our most improved player on this team. He is, right? I mean, he's been the best. I mean, granted, he had a 19-18 game.
Definitely not Thon.
No. But think about just like...
Yeah, I know he had a great game Sunday.
But think about how much pressure he had this year. Greg Monroe gets traded. We're all like, what are the Bucks going to do? They're going to get bodied by the Andre Drummonds, Dwight Howards of the world. And granted, sometimes they did. But John Henson, for the most part, held his own. He didn't look lost out there. And he was being a productive scorer in that team.
He's certainly semi-competent. He kind of always has been. But I think finally we figured out why John Henson was so inconsistent. Because he wasn't getting consistent minutes.
Right.
I mean, clearly, the only way to get him to show up fully is to be a starter.
Right. And
so you got to wonder then if they do go ahead and get a Deadman or somebody
That's what I think.
And you move Henson to the bench, what happens to Henson?
No, I don't think Deadman's not a starter. Deadman's had a sneaky bad year. I don't know why people have been pumping Deadman. Like,
he's got
Hawks,
career highs in a few categories.
I hear you, but the Hawks have been getting just dominated by big men this year. They have just been getting absolutely. absolutely.
You can point to a lot of facts, like just like much like people who aren't excited about Tyler Zeller, like his numbers aren't that good. Yeah, but has he played with a Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No.
Has he played with Eric Bledsoe?
Yeah, and I mean, there's Tyler Zeller.
Has he played on a talented team as this?
But it goes back to my point of I don't think you should really care about Tyler Zeller. It's just a bench player.
I agree.
And just like, you know, there people are
there
like.
There were a lot of people who lost their shit.
I know. And it's
same
like.
Same old Bucks by trading a second round pick. Are you motherfuckers?
Right, exactly. The second round pick doesn't matter. You can buy second round picks. That's what the Warriors do.
Right. You were going to lose Rashad Vaughn for absolutely nothing.
No one wanted. They don't want Rashad Vaughn. They were like, get out.
Yeah, and that's the reason we got the trade done was because of the second.
Yes.
You know, the Brooklyn doesn't really want Rashad Vaughn. I mean, he might get a cup of coffee.
He's going to Bosnia next year.
Yeah, he's going to end up in Spain if he's lucky.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the G League. Who knows with Rashad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Tyler Zeller, like I said in group chat form today, he's probably the Tony Snell of big men.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the numbers, they're not going to blow you away, but he's, you know, he's not going to kill you and he's not going to do anything special.
No.
Which is just fine for everybody that wanted a body just to eat some into Thon's minutes because the Bucks defense is so bad with Thon on the court.
Right.
Because he doesn't know where to be.
No question about it. So
and it takes time with big men.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, Andrew Bogut, it took him 4 years,
right,
5 years to become what he was.
And then the thought that Bucks were going to bring back Bogut is just another dumb thing to do. Like
I'd be fine with giving him a workout and giving him a 10-day.
Right, but it's like he's glass. Like the guy like steps on the court and breaks a toe. Like, yeah. You know, it's the old Ben Sheets adage.
True.
Like Ben Sheets, you know, throws two pitches and gets a blister.
The Bucks could theoretically sign Brandon Jennings and Andrew Bogut.
No.
Especially with...
Absolutely not.
With, we already have Brandon Jennings Light and Xavier Munford.
No. Just stop.
Xavier Munford, who some pockets of Bucks Twitter just pine for all the time. That dude makes Brandon Jennings look like the Hulk.
Yeah, he stinks.
Well, I'm just, Munford's like what, 6'1", like buck 65?
Yeah, soaking
like,
wet.
He is tiny.
Yes, he is little guy.
Not everybody's Allen Iverson, unfortunately.
So to your Bellinelli point, though, I will say if the Bucks are going to make a deal for somebody, just get more shooting off the bench. The more guys you can have that can line up in the corner for Giannis just to find and can put in 12 points, you know, with 4 threes.
Like a Jason Terry that day we went to the game?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. A more consistent Jason Terry.
Maybe it's Jason Terry.
Well, I just don't know if Jason Terry. I just don't know if Jason Terry can do it night in, night out. Maybe
he
can.
That's why he didn't play the first month, or
right?
Two.
Or yeah, whatever. Jason Kidd's bullshit. But if you were to say, and I, who would you say are like number one in the Lou Williams sweepstakes, as well as number one in the Tyreek Evans sweepstakes?
Well, you think Boston right away, right? I mean, yeah, they have all the assets.
I think Boston's a guy. I think
Boston's not a dumb organization.
I think Tyreek Evans makes more sense on Boston, just given that like Kyrie sort of has a similar build to Lou Williams. They have Terry Rozier, who also has a similar build to Lou Williams,
and they like to play those guys together,
right?
A little bit.
And I would say Tyreek Evans fits there. I know Philly kind of wants
Kyrie's
Tyreek Evans.
He hurt though.
Yeah, that's true. Another kind of wild place for either of these guys is San Antonio. Like San Antonio is a lock at a three. They're battling Minnesota for the three.
Do you
and the
follow
four.
Any San Antonio writers or anything?
Nah, kind not really.
I follow the what's his name, Jeff McDonald.
Yeah,
seems like a lot of their fans are pissed.
Well, right. I think
here they are, ho hum, third in the West. But it's just not good enough.
Well, right, because they're looking at what the Rockets are doing. The Rockets and Warriors are both eight and nine games ahead of them, and they're battling the T-Wolves for the four seed, or three and four. They're flipping back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they added a guy like Tyreek Evans,
well,
Lou Williams.
Plus all the Kawhi stuff.
Yeah, the
helping.
Kawhi stuff's not. Exactly. I'm just kind of looking at it would suck if Indiana got one of those guys. I don't think they would. I don't think the Pacers have.
Like, is Spurs Twitter now the most... You know,
who is
angry?
No,
thing.
It's still Bucks Twitter. Bucks Twitter for life. I mean, Bucks Twitter is just going to be angry. And until someone else implodes, it's going to be Bucks Twitter.
Bucks Twitter is angry because people actually care.
Wizards Twitter might eat itself if, like, the Wizards keep playing well. And it's like, well, did we give John Wall $180 million to just be a guy who doesn't fit our roster?
They could probably trade him in a heartbeat.
Well, now that contract's heavy.
Yeah,
and he has some knee issues, back issues. And I loved it, though. The media, like John Wall, I know is pretty savvy media-wise. Just from things he said, like he said, yeah.
I saw the tweet he had. I was watching Sports
Center. What tweet did he have? I didn't see
about
that.
About the great team win.
Oh, I didn't
miss
that.
You put team in quotes.
Yeah, because, well, and like, so like people are like, anyone who says this is a Ewing theory, they're crazy, like yada, yada, yada. And if you're not familiar with the Ewing theory, it's basically
teams a team better with their star player.
Yeah. And it's like, well, maybe like Brad Beal was better. And the fact is like, he just doesn't stay healthy enough. So you can't like rely on Brad Beal. But I think when the rubber meets the road, one of those guys has to leave next year, and it's probably Brad Beal, and you'll get a ton for Brad Beal, but it's clear that those guys can't. It's totally to your point. If you've ever listened to Mitch talk about CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, it's literally the exact same thing, that these just guys can't play together. They just need one. Bradley Beal can have his own team and be fine. So can John Wall. Same with McCollum and Lillard.
What, make the playoffs?
I don't know.
I mean, they could be. They could be the lead scorer on teams.
The
no
Wizards,
question.
The Wizards can't lose anymore. So that's, I mean, that's
well,
the
right.
thing. And
the only reason Indiana lost is because they played the Wizards. So those two motherfuckers.
No kidding. We'll see how the Bucks do the
it's
rest.
It's probably going to come down to those three teams: Bucks, Indiana, and Washington. Between the
right, Miami's
between
not,
the four and the six. Probably.
Miami took a bad loss to Orlando. Well, I mean, also too, Cleveland is 81-81 with the Magic as we're taping right now.
Yeah.
So do not sleep on the fact that the Bucks could win the division. Like, yeah, I know that is not out of the question at all.
Unfortunately, you're not locked into the top three seeds anymore if you
no,
win your division.
That's fine, though. But
of course, the Bucks have won the division once in my life.
But
so.
If the Bucks, yes, that's the thing. You got it. The Bucks win the division. That is such a bigger thing from a larger scheme
right.
than it has actually.
Like, do you remember in 2014 when we went to that Bucks game and sat in that suite?
Yes.
And they were trying to get a Fear the Deer chant going.
Yes.
And they clinched the eighth seed.
Yes.
I think they would do that, but it'd be a passionate.
Right.
It would be.
And it would be just, it would, everyone would be
they'd be carrying Joe Prunty around the court.
Absolutely. Like, winning the division would be a crazy accomplishment for this team, especially all that they've been
through.
They'd
be erecting the statue at the new arena of Joe Prunty.
But that, you know, so, but it's not out of the question. I mean, the Cavs thing is a real issue. Like, they're saying tensions are growing between LeBron and everybody else. They can't play defense at all. The Isaiah Thomas trade was one of the worst in basketball in the last like 5 or 10 years.
Now they got the Nets pick.
And they do have the next pick, but it's like, what do? I don't think you trade that. Even if you're drafting seven.
I think Zach Lowe brought up trading the Nets pick for Aaron Gordon.
If Aaron Gordon's
just to have
hip,
somebody to build around, maybe?
Yeah.
But
see,
man, is Aaron Gordon? He has shot the ball well early, but.
Yeah, I don't like when super athletic guys have injuries like hips. Like, Aaron Gordon's not in the dunk contest because of a hip injury, which is actually a good thing because Donovan Mitchell gets to be in the dunk contest,
correct.
And I'd rather watch
Donovan
Shane, Mitchell.
He is an
yes,
all-star.
Exactly. No, man, a little hot. But
had he done this the whole season, he would be.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, you, yeah.
The could Jazz are hotter than the Hubs at
right.
all.
Could they make a deal for a guy who's like a, yes, yeah, CJ McCollum? If they traded the Brooklyn pick for a CJ McCollum, let's just say. Okay. You can say that's worth a seventh pick overall.
I do believe McCollum's from Ohio.
He is. Yeah. You can say to yourself, like, okay, that's worth that pick.
Yeah.
You have to find value. Is DeAndre Jordan worth that pick? Absolutely not.
No.
And if they do that, then the Cavs are more fucked than we think they are.
Yeah, they can use the Nets pick to be smart.
Yeah, but are they going?
That Nets pick isn't going to be that great.
No, the Nets are okay. I mean, the Nets.
You might want a fool team, get rid of their, not fool, but. Well, I mean, the Cavs are probably going to have some cap room
right.
this summer. I mean, as sad as it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much. At this point, the bat signal's out. It's
well, right.
LeBron's done.
And then the Lakers classic are like, well, we're not going to go after 2018 free agents. 2019 is our guy.
I didn't see Simmons tweet saying the cat and mouse game is adorable or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And then Magic gets a $50,000 fine
for
complimenting Giannis.
Yeah.
He's like, well, someday Milwaukee will lead
good,
him to the championship.
Keep his name out of your mouth.
Yeah. Keep him off your lips, Magic.
I texted Sparky saying, I'm like, why am I not surprised that Magic wants something he can't have? I feel like there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Probably inappropriate.
It's good. No, it's all right. Yeah. No, you can't do that. The league, I think part of the reason it was $50,000 was because, you know, they had already gotten in trouble for tampering with Paul George. And basically it's like, all right, I think it's the NBA saying, all right, you got to keep your mouth shut, Magic. Like, you're not an NBA analyst anymore. You're not on ESPN. Like,
yeah, you're in a front office. Like, yeah, respect the biz, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was where the 50K came down. Is like, Magic was like, I'm just trying to get my compliments.
But that's
off.
Like him putting 50 cents in a Salvation Army.
Oh, yeah. Magic laughs at the 50K. He pisses that for breakfast.
He finds that in his couch cushions.
Right. No question about it. So, great compliment. I hope Giannis has fun with it. It seems like that would be something Giannis would like to laugh at. He made a dirty joke on Sean Kilpatrick's Instagram.
Giannis did?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd he say?
I'll find it. But yeah, no, yeah.
I laughed at Henson put a picture up of him like leaving one of the games or something. Yeah. And Bledsoe, I don't know. You know what Goyard is or whatever?
No, I don't.
I don't know what that is either. It must be some type of bag or something. Or clothing line. I don't know. But he goes, Bledsoe's like, Goyard, huh? Too much money in this pick. I laughed at that.
So it was
the other thing too. Giannis was putting some stuff on like Instagram. Him and his girlfriend were walking around New York.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, God, there's probably so many people like, come play for us.
Yep.
You shut your mouth, all of you.
Hey, you.
Like,
you.
Like, what does he say to them?
It's like the scene in 21 Jump Street. You, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. But no, this whole thing is, it's a picture.
I get to see a bunch of surly New Yorkers just being like, come play for us.
Antetokounmpo. Giannis.
Hey, Greek freak.
Hey, Greek freak.
Greek freak.
Hey, Greek freak. Come play for the Knicks.
Come play in Rucker Park.
Our owner sucks, but it's the Garden.
It's MSG. We call this the Garden.
It's the Garden. It's the Garden.
You cocksucker.
Some Michael Rappaport-looking assholes.
Right, that's what I was trying to impersonate.
So anyways, Kilpatrick's like, caption this. Best caption gets a shout-out and a hoodie. Let the games begin, and it's him and Giannis. And Giannis comments, when she says she likes the freak, too. I was like, whoa, hey. That's a little.
That's good.
Little PG-13 for young Yanni.
Yeah, right.
Yes, this podcast has went in 100 directions. We're at like time already, aren't
we? Yeah, pretty much.
What do you think? Do you think Elon Musk's thing's gonna get to Mars? The Falcon Heavy or Falcon whatever?
What is that?
SpaceX. He's flying a thing to Mars.
I don't know what that is.
Just completely in the dark today. Did not.
Yep.
It's okay.
Elon Musk?
Yeah, the guy who does Tesla. You don't know who Elon Musk is?
No. Tesla's a car, right?
Right. He is the Elon SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket. So they're sending a rocket to Mars.
Is it going to land in North Korea, an accident?
I don't know. But yeah, that'd be cool. Olympics start on Thursday. Do you have any hot Olympic takes? Do you care?
No, I probably just watch hockey, even though there's no NHL players.
I mean, if
one of the games at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, listen. So I've always been a major proponent of the Snow Tap Bar Watch, and this is maybe Bar Watch. This may be our peak, because give us 2 a.m. hockey on a Saturday night, and if there's a bar that stays open, you let me know, and I will be there, because God knows that will be a great time.
Yeah.
I will definitely try to get my car. I'm sure I'll.
Stinks the NHL isn't playing. But
no, it's terrible. Well, if
I
a
understand
bunch,
why it's
if
not.
A bunch of college kids can take down professional Russians
college
like 1980,
and, I think AHL's playing as
I'm
well.
Here for it. Anytime I can get a little xenophobic on things, I'm okay. I'm all right with it. So it's probably a good place
just
to
just enough to scratch the itch.
Right, just enough. Like, I don't want to go full Trump, just like a 10th Trump, and just, you know, talk about how proud I am of my Americans. Like, yeah, we'll do a little Olympic coverage on the Daily Tap, but not much. I'm sure at some point I'll explain my love of figure skating, because why not? So anyways, before we go down a rabbit hole, we don't want to leave. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking. We'll wrap up the Bucks halfway point, as well as any other drama. Maybe some baseball moves will happen. We didn't get to talk about the Brewers. Ran out of time. We will try to get to them next week.
Spring
maybe some
training's coming up.
Yeah, maybe some over-unders could be out, so we can take a look. Vegas has still yet to release those. I've been looking. But okay, for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Have a good rest of the week, Tappers. We'll talk tomorrow. See you.
Peace.
Oh my God.